Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
On One Network, all out of Ohio. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Right here from the get-go, we go live to Tony Fayeg, who is there, in fact, very close to center stage where it all unfolded. Hey, Tony from TRN, thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Great to be with you and your listeners, Kate. How are you doing?
Awesome. Let's talk about the, I called it the kids' table, meaning the candidates who didn't make it onto the prime time festivities, the debate.
Yeah.
But I heard and I saw that what most of the conversation now has been hours later is about Carly Fiorina and how she did. Did you feel that she came out head and shoulders better than anyone else?
There was no doubt that she made the most of the opportunity. Some people called it the kids' table. Some people called it the happy hour debate because it was hosted at 5 o'clock. It was clear that she was confident going into it. She made her points. She pivoted to Hillary more than anybody else, which I think many felt was not done enough in both debates. And she showed a level of confidence and confidence, I think, that really made her a clear winner. Now, look, that being said, I think Rick Perry helped himself in that debate on policy points. Bobby Jindal did as well. I think Dorothy Packey did fairly well. But if you want to really handicap and say who emerged from that crowd as potentially able to climb into that top tier, I think without a doubt it would be surprising if Carly Fiorina now finds herself in the top 10 based on her performance today.
Yeah, and it looked like a lot of people, as soon as she came off the stage, everybody, she was the clear winner, that everybody was rushing up to her. So it was kind of her moment, right?
It was her moment for sure. In fact, you know, I've been covering these things for a while, and I've been a communications person for a while. We always laughingly say that when you're in the spin room, you got to find the person who has the biggest press gaggle around them. That's how you know who won the debate. And there was absolutely no contest. Carly sucked up a lot of that energy, and rightfully so. You know, she was poised. She had a message. She was fair and confident. And, you know, when you really think about the nuance of leveling attacks on our opponent, particularly likely to be Hillary Clinton, she's proven to be particularly adept, much more than, you know, some would argue a Donald Trump or even a Jeb Bush, not only in her capacity, but her willingness to go on the offensive. And she does quite well, and, you know, you got her, I think, a very clear, decisive win today.
All right, so we jump up to the real thing, primetime Donald Trump. That's what everybody wanted to know, how Donald Trump was going to do. How do you think he did?
Well, look, from the perspective of attention, he certainly got it. From the perspective of candor, he certainly delivered it. I had not been very sure whether or not Trump was going to alter his strategy. I didn't think he would, but and clearly he didn't. That being said, I think what you did see tonight was a much more pointed attempt to kind of push back Donald Trump from his fellow candidates. Rand Paul from the onset kind of took him on, and, you know, you had others bringing up his lack of consistency in his conservatism. You know, even the debate moderators had reminded Donald Trump about some of his more inflammatory comments, particularly toward women that were degrading. The fact that he's advocated for some sort of single-payer health care system in the past, the fact that he's obviously been the beneficiary of crony capitalism and government largesse, you know, filed bankruptcy 4 times. So, listen, he gave it back as much as he got it tonight. He got it as much as he gave it back tonight. And I do think you might not see him lose a lot of support, but there is this feeling that maybe Trump's hand has kind of met its last kind of ace. After tonight, particularly his engagement, not so nice engagement with Megyn Kelly at one point.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's what I think. I think he made a huge mistake with Megyn Kelly when she questioned him, calling women fat pigs, dogs, slobs, that whole thing. And then he said, well, that was Rosie O'Donnell made a joke. And I think that could blow back on him. But bigger blowback, really, I think, is when he wouldn't rule out a third-party run because you could hear the audience hissing, and you were there, and you heard that.
No doubt. And, you know, this unfortunately reinforces this idea that Donald Trump is really on a singular mission, and that's for his own promotion. And I think that question set a very aggressive tone, in some cases maybe not a great aggressive tone for the debate. There was a lot of combativeness from the onset. I wonder what the debate would have been like had that been the last question asked. But look, you know what? Donald Trump has made it very clear that, you know, he's not committing to rule out anything, and he views it as leverage and obviously a negotiation. You know, that's how he works, and that's also kind of what's made him popular. So I don't know why he would alter that strategy, even though clearly it would be to the benefit of the party to unite against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I thought Marco Rubio came out really well, really eloquent. He was aggressive on some things, but didn't attack anybody, made his case for the reason why he was running. If I were going to pick a winner, I would have to say I thought he won. Who do you think won?
I think you nailed it, Kate. You know, he was consistent the whole night through. He had, I think, the greatest moments of inspiration for sure. Mm. And it's funny because, you know, Rubio's track tonight was very similar to the track that he's basically been pursuing as a candidate. He was low-key, but he seized moments, and he was acceptable to all. You know, there were others, you know, who clearly fed off Rubio's answers, others who cited Rubio's answers as, you know, kind of positive. I think he kept his head down and was not caught in the crosshairs of Donald Trump's fight or Rand Paul and Chris Christie's fight. He kind of stayed the course and really did a very nice job seizing moments. I think he was the most decisive winner out of tonight. But look, I think if you're Chris Christie, I think if you're John Kasich, you know, you also could point to some really good moments, definitely some points scored. Scott Walker maybe too. Jeb Bush was a little more, I think, flat, but, you know, delivered some important moments, again, for himself. But those are the guys who I think kind of put at least some points on the board, enough for their supporters to claim some level of momentum coming out of tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing, I thought the fiery moment was Christie and Paul clashing over terrorism, really the whole Warren thing and Bill of Rights is what, you know, Rand Paul was yelling about. But I think Christie got the better of him at the end of that. What do you think?
Consistent again with my feelings on this, Kate. You know what? Even if you, on an ideological kind of argument, so they both made their points. I think the fact that Rand Paul's body language is eye-rolling when Christie was citing how he had spent time hugging the victims of 9/11, the victims' families, I think, you know, just kind of really showed the fact that Rand Paul had a lot of bad moments. And in fact, there was a very funny moment when just Donald Trump kind of looked at him and said, "You're having a tough night. I know." It really was one of those things that just kind of crystallized the idea that if anyone left here as a being viewed as a loser of this debate, it probably was Senator Rand Paul.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Tony Fegg, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate it, man.
Okay, my pleasure. Have a good evening.
You too. All right, right there, he's there, and there's still some people milling about as it's really wrapped up, obviously. But some big moments, I think, in the debate was the one I pointed out, the Christie Paul thing. Trump called on the carpet. Again, he goes after Megyn Kelly. Don't know that that's going to play so well. I thought that Mike Huckabee was pretty steady, too, in his delivery and what he talked about. Who do you think won this debate? Maybe you don't think it was Marco Rubio. What do you think the big moment was? You can throw in your two cents. Is there anybody you would vote for right now for president based on what you just saw in that debate? You can send it to me, americatonight.net, or dial these digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
okay, open your mouth and say, aw.
Getting a good view of a sore throat can be difficult, but the new doctor-recommended sore throat exam kit from SayAwNow.com makes it easy. A first-of-its-kind, scientifically designed oral retractor to relax the tongue, minimize gag reflex, and increase visibility. Our made-in-the-USA kit also includes a medical-grade reference chart, easy-to-use website and app so that you're one click away from unparalleled sore throat information. Click SayAwNow.com. SayAwNow.com, a must-have for your family's medical preparedness.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
All right, wake up, America, and thanks for hanging with us as we bang a drum or two, perhaps. Mark Schulman joins us now, and believe it or not, he has really hung out with some pretty cool ladies and some others as well. I already mentioned this Pink Cher and even Stevie Nicks. He is a professional speaker and a musician. The hint was the whole drum thing. He plays drums, and what an incredible background he has. Man, I would have loved to have been a roadie for him at some point during his career. And he's got a cool new book out called Conquering Life's Stage Fright. Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Wow, Kate. Holy moly, what an intro.
I'm serious. Oh,
Thank you.
If I could have hung with you, how fun would that be? You know, let's start from the beginning.
Know, we're far from dead yet, Kate. There's still plenty of time to hang.
So the drums, were you one of those kids that just that was it? You were touching, you were banging, you were moving your hands, and
that
it was just
it. I was my mom said I came out of the womb beatboxing before there was beatboxing. Maybe I invented beatboxing, I don't know.
Nice.
But as the story goes, you know, I saw this performance when I was 3 years old. It changed my life, and it was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and I saw Ringo, and I was just transfixed. And then I saw the screaming girls, and I said, I want that! And then, of course, my parents said, no, drums are too loud. Can't you play a nice instrument like your brother Randy? He plays violin. So I ended up playing cello off and on for many years. But finally, they couldn't deny my passion. And at 9 years old, I finally got my first real drum set. At 12 years old, I played my first professional gig. And I was off to the races.
Man, I love it. Okay, so of all the people that you played with, this is a tough question. It's like a question, you know, I've interviewed over 12,000 people, Mark, and people always say to me, who is the most exciting person you ever interviewed? Well, it's pretty hard to boil that down. But of all the people that you've hung out with and toured with and everything, who right now comes to mind? Who's jumping into your mind when I ask you the question about, hey, man, tell us a story?
Okay, Chad asked that question. Because here's the thing. I really, there's so many amazing things about just about every artist that I work with. And it's like comparing apples and oranges. I mean, Pink is the most top-class performer ever. She's an amazing lady. She's an amazing singer. It's been such an honor to be on stage with her because she kicks everybody's butt because she is so darn good. But, you know, being on stage with Billy Idol is amazing. I've played with Foreigner on and off for years, and last incarnation of Foreigner in particular, we just had the best time ever. And Cher is just amazing. She's an icon. And the audiences vary so much, and the venues vary so much. And I'm at such a different point in my life that I got to say I'm really fortunate because I've had some of the most amazing experiences, but very few negative experiences, let's put it that way. And there have been such highs from every tour that it's just, I can't say enough great stuff about just about everybody. Sorry to not be so specific, but I really feel that way.
I love it. So here's the thing. From Pink to Cher to Foreigner to everybody that you've ever played with, what is it that we are so drawn to the drummer? And you see it on stage where you get your moment. I bet you've never been on stage with anybody where they didn't sort of back away and give you that moment to riff. I call it riffing. I'm sure there's another word for it, right?
That's a great word. I like that better than drum solo. Honestly, I mean, there have been actually a few tours where I haven't played a solo, but, you know, to answer your first question about what's special about drummers, two things are special about drummers. Rhythm is the foundation of everything. Every component of our bodies, we have rhythm, from our heartbeat to our blood flow to our every bit of our chemistry. So and everything has a cycle. Everything is a rhythm. The sun, the earth, the solar system, it's all based on rhythms and cycles. So it really is the foundation of life. And drummers are an amazing community of people. And so I've done probably over 1,000 drumming events. We call them drum clinics or drum seminars. And drummers just get together. They love to use your word, to riff off of each other. And drummers tend to be very, very giving, selfless people. And I can't really even name more than two drummers I've ever met that have been anything other than completely lovely and supportive. And maybe it's just because rhythm is so foundational and people that are drawn to the drums are such sort of foundational and community-oriented people. And everything is built on the rhythm. And even if you're playing another instrument or whether you're working in business, it's all about timing. Timing is everything. Timing is everything, whether you're playing in a band, whether you're pitching a client, whether you're communicating with your lover, you know. Timing is everything.
Yeah, well said. Timing is everything. I love the name of your book, Conquering Life's Stage Fright. So tell us about that, you know, the steps to being, you know, the three steps to top performance. Why did you jump into writing a book?
Well, as I said earlier, I've been doing drumming events, drum clinics, we call them in the business, although I'm not fond of that word per se. But I realized after doing many of those that people were resonating more with my stories of success and wanting to hear about how I got to where I got to, as opposed to people, you know, the drummers really like hearing about the technical stuff as well. But I found if that's what those people are resonating with and they're drummers and they're musicians, I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe I could take music, use it as a metaphor, and start communicating in other contexts.
corporate world, the collegiate world. Even I've worked with a bunch of kids in detention camps. I've been on the board of directors for Create Now that mentors at-risk and high-risk kids. And everybody resonates with the stories of how somebody has created success, especially because I failed an audition miserably in the early days because of deleterious stage fright and performance anxiety. And that was an impetus for me to analyze, study, research, network, discover, and I uncovered some habits and rituals, three core concepts that I knew were the foundation of top performance. They were derived from a dear friend of mine, Dr. Jim Samuels, who's a great thinker. I derived the three concepts from concepts he had. And I wanted to scream and shout about it, but I decided to write a book about it instead. And my wife said, that's great, honey. Why don't you run it by some other performers in other areas of life, other quote-unquote top performers, just to kind of test these philosophies on them. And that was an amazing idea because I ended up interviewing nearly 50 people for my book, people in all areas of life, ranging everybody from Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, to actor Jeremy Piven, astronaut Alan Bean, the associate managing editor for Fortune magazine, a gal by the name of Lee Gallagher, who's now become a friend of mine and ended up writing the foreword to my book. And these people gave me stories and secrets and endorsements of these three core concepts. And I realized I really am onto something. And I thought, you know, everybody has had those moments where you either step up or step through in some sort of communication, whether it's giving a toast at a friend's wedding, doing a sales pitch, communicating with an associate, with your boss, getting up in front of 5,000 people to give a speech, or getting up in front of 50,000 people to play a rock and roll show. And what do we do in those moments where there's stage fright or where there's anxiety or where there's even hesitancy? So I explore a lot of different possibilities about what to do that are based on these three core concepts. And I found that it really resonates so strongly with the corporate world. I've been doing all these speaking gigs because everybody loves drums, everybody loves rock and roll, and the concepts are so sticky and so sort of content-rich, and then I combine that with rhythm and interactive drumming, and I bring people on stage, and I use music as a metaphor to talk about the different components in a particular organization. Like if I'm doing a financial corporate gig, and I'm going to get four people up to demonstrate, you know, like low risk, medium high, and high risk investments, and demonstrate that with rhythm and the unity and the team building component. And so I design these programs, and it's all based on these core concepts that are really foundational for top performance. So I get so excited, I just end up standing up. I was sitting down, I'm standing up. I'm in my recording studio tonight.
I love it.
I'm just having a ball. But, you know, it's interesting to sort of transcend one's regular business and use that model in other businesses because it makes it interesting and fresh for other people. And
absolutely.
I look with that in mind.
Oh. How perfect is that? And Mark, hang on a second. We're going to come back and finish up with Mark Schulman. He's just too darn interesting to let him go. So we got to step.
It's so lonely here. I can barely stand it. I'm waiting for you to stroke your keys and unload over at gcnlive.com/community. Oh, come on. I know you have things to share. And there's a whole place waiting for you to share them. Light some candles, pour yourself a drink, and get cozy. Log in at gcnlive.com/community. Lots of people are satisfied. Why not satisfy yourself at gcnlive.com/community? I'm waiting. Get out of the friend zone at delicious.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.
Right, he's in our virtual green room slash his studio in California. Mark Schulman is back with us, and he's written a book called Conquering Life Stage Fright, Three Steps to Top Performance, and we were talking about that. He said he was so excited. He was standing up in his studio performing right there. Hey, Mark, thanks for hanging through.
Thanks, Steve. You're great.
All right, so I got to ask you this. You know, I'm just thinking in my head, White Wedding, you know, Billy Idol. What was Billy Idol like?
Billy's awesome. I worked with Billy on and off for like 8 years, and the first thing I ever did with him was record the song for the end title for that movie, Speed. Remember Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Sandra Bullock? Yeah, it was the first thing I ever did. Went to the studio, and then we worked together a lot. We did some recording, we did some writing, and then we did some touring as well. We did the VH1 Storytellers, and Billy's the real deal, man. He's the real deal. He's an amazing performer. You can cut his vibe with a knife. You know, he's really, really deep, and also quite a historian. I mean, first of all, he was one of the original punks, and most people don't know that. He was a singer for Generation X, which is a band that broke out of England around the same time as the Sex Pistols and The Clash. And so he's got that foundation. So he really has this rugged, tough punk foundation, but he combines that with some serious, crunchy rock and roll and a lot of sex, you know? And he's awesome. I mean, when he's on his game, he's amazing. His lyrics are really powerful. And, man, what a performer.
I talk about him. You know, the thing that's cool about what I get to do when I do my speaking presentations is I get to tell stories and use all these people as metaphors for success. Because, you know, you look at these like, multi-millionaire, incredibly successful rock stars, and there's no accident to success. So a lot of what I draw from is I draw from my analysis of these people and, you know, talk about what I've learned from them and use them as examples. And I definitely use Billy as an example, and Pink as an example, and Cher. It's because these people are icons. You know, I've been on stage and worked with some iconic, amazing people, and I got to pinch myself sometimes because I think, wow, I'm very, very grateful, very fortunate.
Yeah, that you can use that, and all that material you have. And, you know, I was thinking about this, too, the stage fright part of it. You don't have stage fright. There's no way not at this point. I think of you, Velvet Revolver, Ozfest. Are you kidding? How many people were there? It was like a small country, 200,000 plus. I mean, that was insane. That had to be wild.
That was totally insane because I had no rehearsal. my buddy Matt Storm calls me one night. He's all shaking. I said, "Dude, I broke my hand in a water skiing accident. I have to have a plate put in my hand." And you know, my first thought was nausea. When you talk to another drummer, you think about, "Oh my God, that is your life and your livelihood, and they got to put a plate in your hand." And then he happened to call. Literally, I'd finished 3 years of touring with Cher. It was the first farewell tour. And, you know, Eva's entitled to do as many as she wants, you know. Look at Elton John. Matt happened to call me when I was off the road. It was just weird. And I happened to be able to do it. So I flew out and met the guys. And then, you know, next thing I know, we're sound checking. And talk about the loudest band I've ever played with in my life. And then next thing I know, I'm on stage with Velvet Revolver. I'm playing in front of 20,000 hard rock heavy metal fans all going, "Dude," you know, very different audience for me because it was a festival, so it was a lot of heavy bands. And we were co-headlining with Black Sabbath, and it was a trip, and playing with Slash and Duff and even Scott Weiland, who's kind of a interesting cat and an amazing, amazing performer. I, again, one of those experiences that I think back and it almost seems surreal to me, but I was out with those guys for 6 weeks and, man, Slash and Tough, particularly them, what gentlemen they are, man. They were just so incredibly cool. And this was the end of the tour for them. So I think the last thing they needed was try to, you know, work somebody else new into the band. I just did my best to just, you know, be Matt, play like Matt, support the band, and rock so hard that I felt like my arms were going to break off.
I love it. That your arms are going to break off. Yeah, that's great. What a story. So have you seen Whiplash, that movie?
Oh, I have a very, very, as you can tell, I'm a very positive guy, and I like to try to find what I like in most things. And all I'll say about that movie is, well, I could say a lot. I'll say they totally missed the point. They missed the point completely. They missed the point of the joy.
Yeah.
It was a dramatic movie about pain and agony and bad coaching and bloody hands. And they never once even touched on the joy of playing music, the thing that motivates you to do it. They missed the point. That sure was a good dramatic flick. And I'll tell you something else that really got me angry about that movie. I'm sorry, I'm going to go on a little bit. When it was done, I thought the great thing about the movie was the music. They had these amazing big band arrangements. There was no credit anywhere. I am good at doing research, and I went online 15 minutes. I could not find the musicians that played on the soundtrack listed anywhere. And I was texting some of my drumming buddies, and my buddy Greg Bissonette, who's an amazing drummer, he's like, "Oh, yeah, it was Bernie Dressel who played drums." And Bernie's amazing. You know, how could they do that? How could they make a movie about drums with all these great arrangements and not credit the musicians and not talk about the joy? Okay, I'm done. That's it.
Now, I agree with you. I can't believe they didn't credit the musicians. Are you kidding? And especially in the movie industry, because if you sit there, they credit everyone. That's such a, for a lot of good directors, that's a big deal, and producers even. The fact that they would have messed up there, wow. Good for you that you found that out and dug around to try to figure out what was happening.
To. Because I needed to know. Because I think that was the most valuable component of that movie was exposing people to all those that amazing big band music. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. So obviously you've got all kinds of things going on: teaching, traveling, playing with different people, pick up.
September 12th.
All kinds of stuff. So that's September 12th, right?
And it's a book release. We're actually doing an all-star jam session and book release, of course, because that's how I roll, baby. Got a bunch of my friends playing, and we're doing a Guitar Center Hollywood on September 12th. So that's going to be really fun. And I'm just busy. I'm doing a lot of corporate events and recording. I got this kid named Jack Milner George, a 16-year-old New Zealand bloke here, and I'm producing two songs for him. We're in the studio right now. We're editing vocals. Never a dull moment. And I'm just loving my family, my 5-year-old daughter, and just doing a lot of playing and no specific tour at this moment, which is very interesting for me, and I'm just loving the time to spend with my family and doing the corporate gigs and doing the book release and doing the sessions and doing the writing. So I get to shift gears a little bit because most of the times in my life in the last 27 years, I've been on the road. So it's nice to be off the road for little bit here.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I'm taking up the ukulele. When I get good, I'll come out and I'll jam with you.
You ought to do it. And you know what? Yeah, anytime you want a drum lesson, I'm your man.
Oh, love
I'll
it.
Give you drum lessons.
Oh.
And I promise you it's going to be joyful. It won't hurt.
Oh, love it. We got to do a documentary. I love it. All right, Mark, terrific. People can pick up your book, I'm sure, at Amazon and all the regular places.
Yeah, after September 12th, it'll be available on Amazon. That's plan. Yes.
Awesome. I love it. Rock on, brother. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Kate. You rock too, baby. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. A lot of fun. We'll see you down the road. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right. Check it out again. Like Mark said, his book coming out September 12th. So pick it up on Amazon. Conquering Life, Stage Fright. I love the analogies. I mean, the metaphors, especially that he said he's wrapping in 3 steps to top performance. Because think of the people that he's performed with and imagine the stories, their background. I mean, that's what it is, right? What gets the person to where they are? And you just see the highlights, the VH1, the MTV. I mean, now actually the vines, the whatever on your, you know, on your cell phone, because we live in the 140 character world of Twitter too, and that's what you see, but you don't see the story behind the story of how the person actually got to where they are. What happened with Pink? What happened with Sheryl Crow? What happened with Foreigner and half of the people that Mark has come across and all the different cultures and that kind of thing, and just how they're human, you know, and he's just got terrific stories. And you can find out more about Mark, too, if you go to markschulman.com, markschulman.com. And, you know, just like a lot of drummers that I've talked to and I've spoken with probably in my career, maybe a dozen. It's funny, but they all have that beat thing when they're a kid. So when they're, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, they're destined to play the drums because they have it's the rhythm, it's the deal, it's the, you know, the movement, something about that. And it's funny, but I saw Cher in her Dressed to Kill tour, and that was last year, so I saw Mark playing, and just a terrific drummer. But you can, if you go to the website too, he's got a bunch of stuff, what I would call a riff, but he's got some drum tracks up there, so you can actually check it out, because I guarantee some of you that heard us talking are curious now about Mark and more about his background, and then transitioning that obviously into a speaking career that he's mixed in with some other things too as well. All right, coming up on America Tonight, it's crunch time for a few people to make some decisions, politically speaking. I'll tell you what, I can't help it. I just ache for a third party, right? Ever since I started this show, that's what I said. And I still am sticking by that. Hang with us. We're in your zone. Back in a second. We'll be right back.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Serious investors and traders want to make an 81% return in 60 seconds? We can show you how using our free tool. Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars in profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple, my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Best part, it's 100% free. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey System. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Talking about what a revelation, Lance, I have to say, I think I'm a pretty educated woman, and I have a friend who's a writer, and he's deaf, and he's got hearing aids that he tells me are tremendous, but some of what you said resonate because he's told me about that, and also he says reading lips, especially when someone's kind of
absolutely
a talker, and they enunciate, so he says, like, it's easy for him when he's sitting across from me to be able to see that, but
yeah.
As you said, so it's better for somebody who's deaf in this age, because there's just more modern conveniences that help.
Absolutely. Growing up, I just had those big analog hearing aids. And all that really is just a big giant speaker being plugged into your ear and just blasting sound. So you have a constant headache as a kid. I hated my hearing aids. I tried to hide them all the time and get rid of them. But, of course, my mom would always pay my siblings to go find them. And so I hated them. But digital is so much nicer now because, one, it's not just blasted sound. But when there's a voice, it immediately registers it and then it amplifies it. But it's nothing crazy. So, yeah, I mean, what a blessing that these challenges that I have, I'm in this modern age, that allow me to be successful and to assimilate into the culture. But with basketball, I never wore them because collision. After that year when I started playing, and I wasn't very good at all, I started playing again at the age of 14. Before that, I was a Nintendo kid, and I was very good at Nintendo. But we
slowly started to work and work. But the catch is, I couldn't tell you this honestly at the time. I wasn't old enough to have this dialogue in my head. But looking back, I know the reason why I got as good as I did, as quickly as I did, was my main drive. Well, one, I love to prove people wrong. I have a nasty habit of doing that. Spice is a great motivator, but it's kind of empty calories. Because once you prove someone wrong, you're kind of like, oh, okay, now what? But also, I was playing so that God would love me. Even though we had broken away from polygamy, we joined the mainstream LDS church, so we're still talking about the same God, the same Book of Mormon, and Joseph Smith and everything. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, this is still the same God that I've been told that was punishing me with hearing loss for being unfaithful in this pre-existence before this life. And so that was my main motivator, is that I had to work that much harder just to be normal, but also I had to atone for some past sin that I had no recollection of. And so every made or missed shot had eternal ramifications. And so looking back, you might be able to understand now, rarely did I actually ever really enjoy it. It was, I'm playing for my eternal soul, really. Though no one ever really told me this, this is the information that I have been receiving throughout life to this point, and how I've created this really shoddily quilted paradigm, and this is how I made the logic fit. But it's a double-edged sword, and so yes, later we realized that I had obsessive compulsive disorder, but I kept it hidden through basketball for so many years. And so I would go home after every game, and I would lay there, and I would replay every play precisely in my head and think about what I could have done better.
Wow.
Or every made or missed shot, every turnover. So everything, again, had just eternal consequences, and that's how intense it was. So, yes, it's a double-edged sword, but that's also what allowed me to get as good as I did, as quickly as I did.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of how the basketball started.
Wow. And so, you know, you go through and you've played for a whole bunch of different teams, and then you get this break in the NBA. You're signed to like a 10-day deal with the Cavaliers. I remember it. I was on the air, actually. It was in March of 2008. Then they sign you for the remainder of the season. What was it like playing for the Cavaliers, playing in the NBA?
I'll tell you, this is where this is the whole story, where it kind of climaxes. But I remember I was standing there on an NBA court in Cleveland. I was shooting a free throw, and I remember standing there and I was thinking, is this it? Is this the best that it gets?
Oh, wow.
Because now you can understand is that the reason why I was playing basketball was so that I would feel love, that I would think that God, that I would feel this love that people kept talking about of what God provides. And so once I finally got there, and I was thinking, well, why don't I feel any different? Why do I still have all this anxiety? Why don't I feel any more secure? Why don't I feel that God loves me? But that was the deep psychological stuff. But as far as the perks of playing in the NBA, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, I had fun playing with LeBron. I know people give him a lot of flack, but I keep telling everyone, context, please, context. This is a guy who grew up in a background where no father figure. His mother, as we know, was very absent.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, coming out of high school with that much money and fame thrown his way, to handle it as well as he did, people don't understand. They'll never know that kind of pressure, but they can sit there and judge. And I tell people, LeBron James is one of the smartest people I have ever played with, not just basketball IQ, but just pure human intellect. LeBron is up there, one of the people I've known. He's a very intelligent person. People don't understand that.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people, Lance, too, that have gotten close to him. Like, you were close because you're there playing on the team.
Yeah.
And it's what people don't know. It's what they read in the media.
Exactly. And the thing is, and they keep comparing him to Jordan, but Jordan didn't have to deal with social media.
Yeah.
So he was able to always be like an arm's length removed, still mythological in a way. Whereas social media just invades privacy. There's no, so you either can keep trying to ignore it and be viewed as a petty brat, or you can just embrace it and try to go into it, which people then think you're a diva. So, go figure.
Yeah.
So you can't win. So,
can't win.
You can't win. And, but then, like, the perks of travel and everything. So people often ask me, like, yeah, what was your favorite thing about the movie? What do you miss the most? I tell them, like, towels. Like, towels? I'm like, towels. Do you know how many teams I've played around the world in gyms with no air conditioning, with no towels around, so you're just sweating, just sliding everywhere. I'm like, man, I could just use a towel right now. Because when you're in the NBA, I'm 100% serious. You can put your hand out, and there will be some little minion with a towel ready to put it in your hand. That's what I miss the most about it.
Yeah, you got to love that. We're speaking with Lance Allred, keynote motivational speaker, former player in the NBA, first deaf player in the NBA. Lance, so now you transition that to what I'll call the platform, and you're out there speaking. What's speaking been like for you?
Oh, yeah. So I just retired 5 months ago. I did my last job in Puerto Rico. But I've had a lot of practice. My book tour in 2009, I realized that, you know, I enjoy this. This is pretty fun. And it's the same adrenaline rush. You know what I'm talking about? You get the pregame jitters, and then you get on the stage and you get warmed up a little bit. And then some days you don't quite have it, but then some days you're just in the zone. All the right words and adjectives come exactly the precisely right time. And it's the same adrenaline rush that those athletes are junkies for. And so now I get to go stand on the stage and I get to communicate with people. And one, I don't have to listen to them and converse back. It's not like I'm in a loud room where my anxiety just spikes with several people talking. I just have to talk. People have to listen to me. That's not that hard because I shot a free throw in front of 16,000 people that want me to miss. That's pressure. Mm-hmm. Just talking for an hour isn't pressure. And so it's, some people are surprised, like, wow, you know, if you knew you would, be taken off as well as you did, and you're actually quite good at it. I'm like, well, I guess. I mean, I come from a line of polygamous charlatans, so obviously I have a knack for gabbing.
You have the gift of gab.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I want to tell everybody so you can learn more about Lance, and, hey, you can have him come to your area and speak. Who knows? There might be a right fit there. How can they do that? They can go – well, one, they can go to LanceAllred41.com. You have a Book Me button right there. They can hit that, right, for more info?
I do. And last week I just signed with American Programs Bureau, the oldest speakers bureau in the world, and they just contacted me and it said, we love what you do. We'd love to have you on our team. I'm like, so you can go to APBSpeakers.com as well. And so, yeah, just 5 months in with how fast it's taking off, I mean, I'm just pinching myself. And people think it's overnight, but as you know, I mean, these are skills and connections that I've been developing over the last 10 years as a professional basketball player. And professional basketball in sports is corporate. It's a corporate world. And it's a beautiful segue for me because I don't have to leave any skill or connections that I developed over the last 20 years as a basketball player. I get to just simply roll over all those hours as well as a basketball player that never quite paid off financially that I invested into being a player, and I get to roll them all over into a new profession. So it's just a beautiful segue for me. It really is. There's no hitch or hiccup right now.
I love it. Lance Allred, perfect place to end this. Thank you so much, and continued success.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me, and best of luck to you. You did great work.
Thanks.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.